Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message.
Praise the Lord. It is so good to have all of you with us today. And if you are joining us for National Back to Church Sunday, we are so glad you're here. And we hope that it will not just be a one day back to church for you, but that coming back to church will be your lifestyle going forward. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I am going to be preaching a two-part, maybe three-part series. And I'm hoping that the first part's going to go well enough that you'll want to come back again if you're here visiting with us today. But in case it does not go well, please do not stay away from church based upon my preaching or anybody's preaching. I have not come to church to hear good preaching, although I want to, and it does bless me. I have not even come to church to see your smiling faces, although it does bless me to see you and to rub shoulders with you and to be able to shake hands and look in your eyes and be encouraged by you. But I'm going to tell you the main reason that I am here today and that I will be here next week and the week following and the rest of the weeks as long as I am alive and breathing is because Jesus Christ went to Calvary for my sins. Not only do I come out to the house of God to thank him, no one else loved me that much. I come here every week to thank him, but I wake up Monday morning thanking him, and I'll wake up Tuesday morning thanking him. I cannot do enough to thank him for dying for my sins. I did not deserve that, but he did it. Praise the Lord. And we serve a great, great, wonderful God, and I cannot do enough to thank him for it. I am reading, and I'm not going to put these scriptures up on the board, on the screen behind me, simply because I have several of them to read. But I'm reading I have my chapters up here. I don't have the book of I have my verses up here. I don't have the chapter of the book. I think it's Luke something. Welcome to Maranatha, folks. You got to come back to here round two just to find out what verse I'm using. Somebody get your concordance out. As I start reading, look it up. Tell me what chapter and verse I'm in. I believe it's in Luke. Starts with verse 35. You'll know the story, though. Then they brought him to Jesus. The him is speaking of a colt, a little donkey. They went and got a donkey. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees, you know, there's always somebody who wants to reign on the party. There's always somebody that does not like the kind of glory we give to God. There's always somebody thinks this is out of order that we would clap and shout the way we do and magnify the Lord. I'm here to tell you, if anything, we have failed at giving God the glory he's truly worthy of. If anything. We're not too loud, too boisterous, too praising. I don't know that you can be. But there were those who the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Don't let them act like this." There'd be people telling us, "Bishop, rebuke these people in your church. They shouldn't be clapping and shouting and jumping up and acting like that in the house of God." And Jesus answered and said to them, I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you how he said it. I tell you this, that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones would cry out. Folks, I got a feeling if you ever came here and we all sat here and would not clap, would not worship, I got to believe these chairs themselves would come to life and start shouting out to God, because the Bible tells us, I'm not even getting into my sermon yet, but I got to throw this out. The Bible tells us that God is enthroned by the praises of his people. It is not this building that holds him. It is our praises. It is not the house that is his temple. It is the praises of his people that he inhabits. My friend, if you have never clapped your hands for Jesus, I'm telling you, do it now. If you have never shouted hallelujah, I'm telling you, do it now. If you need God, you are going to have to praise him for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today's sermon is entitled something that, things like this I think about. If everybody shut up and the rocks cried out, what would the rocks say? What would the rocks say? I read somewhere recently that God wants full custody of his people, not just Sunday visits. Not just Sunday visits. All right. Jesus is entering Jerusalem and he's riding on this donkey and he's accompanied by a multitude of people that are praising him. And they're praising him for all the miracles that he has done, that he has worked. And I want you to know we have a lot of miracles to praise God for, and I don't care if he never worked a miracle in your life. He's worked miracles that he's worthy of praise for doing that. That's why you can come to church and your life is struggling right now and you're having a hard time does not mean you don't praise him, because you can praise him for what he did for somebody else. Come on, are you so selfish that you can't praise him because somebody else got a blessing? Are you so self-centered that you can't thank him for what he did for somebody else? Come on now. Praise God. Let's not be so self-focused. And the Pharisees were critical because they did not like this kind of praise. And there are still people in our world today that do not like this kind of praise going up for God, because traditionally you come to church, you sit quiet, you kneel when you're supposed to, you stand when you're supposed to, and you sit when you're supposed to, and you shut up. And Pentecost just isn't like that, and neither was Jesus like that. And Jesus said, if I tell these to be quiet, the very rocks will immediately cry out, and I wonder what they would say. So over the next week or two, we're going to be talking about several things that I believe these rocks would say, because these rocks have a history with Jesus, and they've got a testimony. You know, those rocks didn't appear there that day. They had been there from the moment God said, let the earth bring forth. Those rocks were there. And I'm here to tell you, if we shut up and the rocks start praising him, you're going to hear some things you've never heard before, because the rocks have seen it all. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here's the first thing I think the rocks would say. That there is refreshment available for your dry and parched soul. And how would the rocks know such a thing? Well, Exodus chapter 17 tells us that all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. but there was no water for the people to drink. Have you ever been in a place in your life when it felt like there was no refreshing? It was all dry, parched, hard, desert land. Everything around me is dry and wasted. It is a complete wasteland. My life is a wasteland. What's going on around me is a wasteland. Have you ever been to the place when you felt like you were going to die, if not physically, spiritually? Well, this is the way they were in a physical sense. And I contend that everything that happened in the Old Testament physically happens to us in the New Testament spiritually. Every example they had in the physical, we experience in the spiritual. Every hardship they went through in the physical, we do it in the spiritual. Every battle they fight in the physical, we do it in the spiritual. The Old Testament is not something to throw away because the New Testament is here. We can learn a lot about what's going on in the spirit if we look back to see what happened in the natural back then. And there was no water for the people to drink, and therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. First of all, let me tell you, I am not your answer for anything. And I don't mean to try to relieve myself of responsibility or duty, but don't call me and think I have all the answers, and don't call me and think I'm going to figure out a way, and don't call me and think that I know everything. I'm here to tell you, they went to Moses complaining, and Moses could do nothing about producing water in the midst of a dry place, but he knew somebody that could. And the only claim to fame I have, it's not knowledge, it's not wisdom, it's not education, but I know somebody. I know somebody. And mama, we've had people come to us looking for answers to fix their lives, and we didn't have the answers, and they've gone off looking for somebody else because they wouldn't let us tell them, we know somebody. And I promise you this, if you'll come and treat him the same way we treat him, he'll do for you what he's done for me. There's nothing special about me. I just came praising him for going to Calvary. I just came thanking him for dying for my sins. And the next thing you know, he started fixing things in my life. And he'll do it for you too. So God put him first. All right. See why it's going to be a three-part? It might be four now. The people contended with Moses. Did I already read that? You think? You don't even know. The people contended with Moses and said, give us water. And Moses said, am I God? He didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. Am I God? I'm just following God. I don't know where there's water. I don't know why there's no water here. I didn't bring us here. I didn't bring us to this place. I'm following that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire just like you are. What do you mean, give me water? If God is not for us, we have no hope. And yet they looked at Moses. Stop looking to man for your answers. Your answer is in God. Why do you tempt the Lord, he said. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt? I don't even know what to say. You don't know what to think. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? Maybe because for 430 years you've been complaining about it? Why have you brought us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst. I didn't bring you up out of Egypt. I was following the pillar of cloud just like you were. My friend, listen to me. If this physical church is not meeting your need, don't look at me. This physical church isn't supposed to meet your need. The God who is behind this physical church is the one to meet your need. Don't you go walking around each other begging for stuff that you think this church is supposed to help you with. My friend, take your need to Almighty God and say, Lord, you have brought me to this place for such a time as this. Fill me with your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding. Let me walk in your paths through the dry places, through the hard places, through the deep places. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. You're with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. What shall I do with this people? Moses said, crying out to God. They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand the rod which you struck the river, and go. Take the thing that's worked in the past for you. I'll tell you what's worked in the past for me, and if you ever come to me with your needs and complaining and you need this and you need that, I'm only going to be able to pick up the tools and the weapons that I have used in the past. And for lack of better explanation, that's just prayer, worship, and you ready? Giving. Giving. Giving time. In fact, let me throw this plug out for our Wednesday evening session that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be at least two parts. And it was by request. Someone requested I teach on time, talent, and treasure. Giving our time, giving our talent, giving our treasure. I'm going to be teaching those three things. These are the things that have worked for me. Time spent in the presence of God. Talent, giving everything I have to God. If I have a talent, I want to use it for His glory. And my treasure, I give to the kingdom of God. These are the things that have worked. So if you're going to come to me for help, you're going to hear what's worked for me to help you. And if you don't do these three, give your time, give your talent, give your treasure, don't expect to get the same results I've gotten. All Moses could do is go back and use what he used in the past. What did you have to get us out of Egypt? I had this rod and faith in God. Back then we didn't need water, but it got us what we did need. Now we need water. Pick up the rod and faith in God. Because the rod and faith in God just doesn't produce deliverance from Egypt. It'll produce bread in the wilderness. It'll produce water from a rock if you need it to. It's just faith in God and the rod in your hand. My friend, the only faith I have is what I have in God, and the only rod I have in my hand is the Word of God. And I can do anything with the Word and with faith. Hallelujah. And that does not mean I'm never thirsty. And it does not mean I never reach a place where I'm not sure I'm going to make it through to the next day. And it does not mean that it's not coming right down to the end. And it does not mean that Pharaoh is not furious with me. And it does not mean that I don't ever get thirsty. But before I die, He will meet my needs with faith in God and His Word. Because there wasn't nobody that looked down the road and said, hey, we're going to get thirsty down there. Maybe let's start thinking about that. Yeah. Oh, no, they were already thirsty when they went to Moses and said, what in the world have you done to us? What in the world is going on? That happens too, you know. You come to God and He's going to fix everything. He thinks it worse. Anybody ever experienced that? Why do things? I don't know. I'll be preaching this for. Why do things get worse? You really want to know why? I'll tell you why things get worse. Because you're trying other means than the only one that works. Be honest with yourself. Aren't you looking for a quicker fix than what Jesus sometimes gives us? Don't you hate it when you go to someone with a desperate need and they say, I'll pray for you? Thanks. What's that going to do? Everything? Oh, I actually needed $1,000. Well, I'll pray for you. Because if you really need $1,000, the God that provides will give it to you. But you see, he knows that you might need what you got to go through without the $1,000 to get you to where you don't need the $1,000 next year. Because you need the $1,000 for something stupid you've been doing that wasn't the will of God to begin with. I'm just saying. Praise God. The Lord said before Moses, go on before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the rod in which you struck the river. Use what worked before, and I will go before you there to the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Now listen, I'm going to wrap this up here in just a moment, but I want to tell you something before I close. Do you realize that the people were thirsty, and the reason they were thirsty is because they had been eating manna? And do you know where the manna came from? The manna fell from heaven. There was no food in the wilderness. They woke up every day, and there was bread on the ground that they picked up and ate, which is a whole nother lesson. I'll give it to you in a nutshell. They had to pick up one day's worth of bread, and if they picked up more than that, it stunk. My friend, your prayers for today won't get you through tomorrow. Your church service today is going to need new prayer again tomorrow morning. It's going to need you to raise your hand sometimes before next Sunday. You need it every day. What God gives you today won't last you into tomorrow. He is new and fresh every day. And many of them found out the hard way. They thought, man, look at all this bread. I think I'm going to take enough for tomorrow so I don't have to get up early and go pick up bread. And it stunk. The next morning it had worms in it. You talk about nastiness. You can't live on yesterday's blessing. Go ahead and clap, Rayanne. That's all right. Don't try living on yesterday's blessing. Seek God today, sufficient for the day. The Lord is sufficient for the day. So some of those people tried to do it. All right. So they already miraculously got manna from heaven. Already, miraculously. Bread does not fall from the clouds, but it did for them. So they already saw the supernatural power of God. If you have ever received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance, you have already seen the supernatural power of God. Some of you have gone beyond that and have seen the supernatural power of God put your homes back together, put your life back together, get you off of drugs and alcohol and brokenness. Some of you, all of us in one way or another have seen the supernatural power of God. But the problem with these Israelites is that although God's supernatural power helped them yesterday, they have got no faith that he can help them tomorrow. And so they went back to Moses. We go back to either me or we go back to God and we start complaining. When was the last time you complained in prayer about the struggles in your life and why this and why that? Why don't you set the complaints aside and say, but God, you gave me bread when there was no food. You destroyed a Pharaoh who ruled the world. You set us free without us raising a sword to fight our own battles. You've worked miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in my life, and now I believe you can work another one. Why don't we try that approach? Why don't we stop walking out of one miracle to complain about the next problem? Why don't we walk out of a miracle and say, let me tell you something, my God, who is able, who has brought me a mighty long way, will bring me through you too. Let's stand together. We serve a God who has worked a miracle in every life that's here. He can go into your tomorrow and meet that need too. Stop the complaining. Stop the moaning. Stop the groaning and lift up your hands and your hearts in faith. Let's clap our hands for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.